Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Am I reading from verse 30, please? Verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And then says Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Although all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now reading in verse 69, please. And Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that they were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. I was doing a lot of reading in Matthew 26 for the last month. And this is not a word to judge Peter, or to judge anybody. This is a word that we can all learn from Peter. Someone wrote that our greatest difficulties usually turn out to be our greatest opportunities. See, in Matthew 26, life presents us with many opportunities. How we respond to them or depends on what we love or what we look for in life. The Jewish leaders, they looked for the opportunity to kill the Lord through jealousy. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's opportunity was to obey his heavenly Father and glorify him. And Mary used the opportunity to express her devotion with the alabaster box, anointing the Lord. Judas used the opportunity to criticize her. Judas also, and you find in Mark chapter 22, he sought the opportunity to betray the Lord and to make money. The Lord himself took the opportunity to be with his disciples, to build them up and tell them, even though he knew that one would betray him, one would deny him, and all emphasize it, all would forsake him. And yet, he loved them. Amen. No love like the love of a Savior.
Amen.
See, Matthew 28, from 31 to 33, where, as we've read, the Lord tells the disciples and all their weaknesses and all their infirmities what they would do. He knew what they would do. He was telling them what they would do. Yes, he's a merciful and compassionate Savior. He knew what they were before they would be saved. They were wicked, guilty, defiled. For we all had sinned and came short of the glory of God. That's why we're here this morning. He knows what they would be like after they would be converted. Weak and frail. So we are. Weak and frail. Yes. He loved them. He loved you and I. Yes, we could say they weren't maybe filled with the Holy Spirit at this time. The Spirit wasn't within them until Pentecost. But they were with Christ. And that should change. Yes, we must remember Paul wrote, indwelling within us, a battle rages. Flesh and spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
Maybe we'd come to Romans chapter 7. And just keep Matthew 26 handy. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, please. Just to save time. And this is Paul speaking. I'll come on at verse 17. Now then is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that when the mind, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And Paul was worried about this. You and I should be worried about it. Because when the Spirit dwells within us, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And some of us think, there's some people think that they can't sing, but we can sing. Because we know within ourselves, when we do sin, we're not right. Or we shouldn't be right. We want to get before the Lord to confess our sin, which we're told to do. Peter was just like the rest of us. Sometimes we put our feet in it, he jumps without thinking. I don't say, as somebody was mentioning about the steps of Peter going down, 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 down. No. I would think you could put it, the failures of Peter. Because we've all got them. Every one of us. We're no different. How small and gradual the failures by which man goes down into sin. That's what happened with Peter. And we can all learn through Scripture. That's what we're asked to do. The first failure in Peter was his pride and self-confidence. See, Peter thought that all men should be offended. It says, Peter, although all men shall be offended because of thee, I'll never be offended. And though I should die, I'll never deny. Too confident. Because the Lord had told them that he would deny him. Mark 14 and 29 says that Peter said, although all shall offend, yet nor I. Luke 22 verse 23 says, Peter says, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. Brave statement. Many promises have I made to the Lord, and we've forgot about them now. We've all done it. The second failure was neglect of prayer. Neglect of prayer. It's a place where there's power. In the cupboard, the private place. At the prayer meeting there and among with assembly of believers. Look at verse 40 of 26, Matthew 26. Sorry, I've got the wrong word. It's not verse 40. It's the part and he was in the garden. It's the part where the Lord was in the garden and the Lord told Peter to pray lest he should enter into temptation. But what did he do? What did he do? He fell asleep. And he was only in the garden. Because the Lord said, I'll go over here and pray, and you watch. He didn't do much watching. And that's what's happened today. The saints are not doing much watching. The saints are sleeping. He gave way to sleep. The third failure was indecision. When the enemies of the Lord first came upon him, Peter fought. He fought right away. He drew out the big sword and he cut the boy's ear off. And the Lord told him to put his sword up. But then he ran away. But then he returned again. And it says he followed them from afar. What does that tell us? He'd backslidden a bit, hadn't he? He'd followed from afar. He wasn't in fellowship. He wasn't in communion with him. And that's what sin does. He followed from afar. Just looking for something here that came to my mind. Verse 58, it says, and Peter followed him from afar, off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants. What to see? To see the end. The fourth step that he made, failure that he made, that he mingled with the wrong company. Or when you get into the wrong company. And when you go to the wrong places. The old saying, our parents or our grandparents used to say, tell me your company. And I'll tell you what you are. You always get thing would be your company. So we find Peter. He's in the high priest's palace and he's sitting among the servants. And where is he sitting? He's sitting at a big warm fire. And he speaks of the world. Many as are sitting at a big warm fire. He tried to conceal himself and hide in the crowd. But what he was doing, he was hearing and seeing all manners of evil. I want to kill the Lord. And he was hearing what was going on. The false witnesses that they brought. He heard them all. And he said nothing. Sometimes we say nothing. But we should say something. Sometimes we say something. When we should say nothing. And 2 Corinthians tells us 6, 17 and 18. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Indecision. In the wrong company. They mingled with them all. His fifth failure, that he was overwhelmed with fear. Look at 69, it's verse 69 again. And now Peter sat within at the palace, and the damsel came and said thou at once of which Jesus of Galilee. But he denied them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when they gone out into the porch, an hour made said to him, that thou were with this fellow, Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied, but he adds to it, he has an oath to him. And after a while he came and stood by him and said, Peter, surely thou art worth everything, for thou thy speech belayeth thee. And then he began to curse and to swear. I know not the man. And immediately, it tells us he knew what he had done. He was overwhelmed with fear when he was challenged with being a disciple. The snare was around him. He had no escape, nowhere to go. He denied the Lord 3 times. In Proverbs 29, it tells us in verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the holy understanding. Again in Proverbs tells us 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And that's true. Because sometimes we can get into difficulties by what we say. Remember James said, it's poison. It's only a wee thing in our mouth. Once the thing's said, it's hard to correct it. But the thing it tells us that in Luke 22:61 says this, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That must have been hard. Can you imagine doing something like Peter had done? Can you imagine doing something we've all done? And how we feel that we've let the Lord down. But what if you could see the Lord looking at you? In reality, we know he's everywhere. He knows what we even think. But Peter could see him, and he could see Peter. You know, whether you know it or not, the best of us are poor and weak creatures. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we are. Mm-hmm. We may think we're something.
Oh, yeah.
We're nothing without the Lord.
Yes.
And at times, let us beware of lukewarmness and coldness. It comes to us all.
Yes.
Every one of us. And times it could lead to backsliding. Just like Peter. We know backsliding was referred to Israel. But we can use that.
Yeah.
See, Proverbs again 15:3 tells us this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. We have a mighty God here this morning, what we're talking about. Well, we're here worshiping him this morning. No, we can't complain about Peter. We can't judge him the way we, because judge not, you'll be not judged. And we can't judge an our man servant. We want to see if a brother is going astray or a sister is going astray, that we try and speak to them, bring them back. But Peter missed his opportunity to be strong and victorious in the situation he was in. See, what he was doing was he boasted when he should have been listening. 32 to 35 tells us that in Matthew 26. He slipped when he should have been praying. 34 verse 46. He fought when he should have surrendered. 47 and 56. He followed when he fled when he should have fled to safety. 57 and 75. But we must remember, brothers and sisters, in all these failures, verse 31, it says, he went out and wept. There he took the opportunity to repent, and he wept. Someone wrote this: remorse can make a man miserable, but it can do no more. Think about that. Remorse can make a man miserable, but it can do no more. It does not lead to God. And if you're miserable this morning because of what your life has done, it'll no bring you to God. It can do no more. See, it's only repentance brings a real turning point in our lives.
Amen. Yes.
Repentance, washed in the blood of a lamb. It's the only thing that changes us. 2 Corinthians 7 and 10 tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance.
Yeah.
To salvation, not to be repented of, but that the sorrow of the world worketh death.
Yeah.
This world is full of sin at the present time. Psalm 32 says this, verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth the Lord shall mercy shall compass him about. So there's that much sin at the present time. There's a wee thing I picked up yesterday morning. And I had to bring it with you. Because we're talking about our mouths this morning. Did you ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
A backlash as a top Anglican minister says, pray for Prince George. Pray that Prince George is gay. A 4-year-old child, and this man professes to be a Christian. I tell you what he's from a devil and he's from a pit of hell. This man preaches in Glasgow. And that's what he was saying. He said for Christians to pray that George would be gay. Where is the world coming to? We're all sinners, saved by grace here. For all our sin and can short of the glory of God.
Amen.
We've all sinned. Just like this man here, he's only a sinner. That's not a Christian. And if you're listening, I'm going to tell you what it tells in God's word. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, nor fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And this was Paul talking to the Corinthians, but he says, but such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And how dare you come out with something like that? You're only an old sinner, just like the rest of us, but we're saved by grace this morning. And you need to be saved this morning. And if anybody else is thinking the same thing, yeah, this is the word of God. And if you've got any arguments, go to the book. Yeah. See, nothing reveals the character of man like his tongue. Yeah. It reveals what's going on inside. The maid said, and the people said, thy speech bewrayeth thee. See, we can go into company and we'd sit and say nothing, and everybody would think you're the wisest person in the place. Scripture tells us that. But as soon as we open our mouth, we give away. When you go to the doctor, get an appointment. It's very hard to get one now. But when you go to the doctor, at times, he would ask you, let me see your tongue. So what do? You stick your tongue out and let him see it. Why is that? See, it's possible today they can diagnose your health by looking at your tongue. They can diagnose different conditions. They can detect different diseases. A clean tongue has a good digestion and health. A coated tongue indicates disturbance of health. It's great, isn't it? So you can get a flurry in a coated tongue. You can get a bright red tongue, you can get an inflamed tongue, you can get a dry tongue, you can get a cracked tongue, you can get a spotted tongue. And they all can indicate different things that's going wrong with the body. See, this will reveal some particular diseases, physical health. But James tells us, as our brother was in the book of James last month, just come over to James chapter 3. James 3. And verse 3 to save time. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. But how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of the birds, and of the serpents, and all of things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, it is evil, and it's full of deadly poison. You know, the Lord, as the Satan criticized the Lord and mocked him, scourged him, everybody was speaking. But Peter only opened his mouth, as far as I know, three times to answer back, and he was caught out. He was caught out. We're talking about health, physical health. Mm-hmm. It's the same with spiritual health.
Yeah, yeah.
I read that there's two main substances of spiritual life: the meditation and the truth, that we may understand it, and the application of truth, so that we may practice it. When the Lord spoke to the he says to the Pharisees, "O generation of vipers, how can ye bring evil and speak good things? For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." The heart, as you know, is desperately wicked. Peter in the judgment hall may have opened his mouth. He may have talked too much. The people recognized his dialect and his speech. That's why they said to him, "Your speech bewrayeth thee." Same with you and me. Tells the country from which we came. You know, I don't come from this part of the country, so I don't open my mouth. Mm-hmm. Even in different counties, they speak different dialects.
Amen.
Something from Belfast, it'd be the same. Saying nothing. It tells of the country which we came. It reveals the education and the refinement, or the lack of it. It reveals also our chief interests in life. Just open my mouth and let us talk. We know what we like, know what we'll look after. We know all these things. We always talk about the things we love. Our speech reveals which country we are going to.
Amen.
Now that's one, isn't it?
Yep.
Is it a language of heaven? Is it? Is it a language of heaven?
Amen.
Or maybe it's the language of hell.
Yeah.
I had the language of hell. That's where I was going. We're all in here with the language of heaven, for the washed blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
See, the language of hell is a filthy tongue and a filthy heart, an evil tongue and an evil heart. We've been there. Martin talking in the book of James, it says in, "If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man,
and is able to bridle the whole body.
We can only do that through the help of the Holy Spirit. And the salvation of our souls. We can do nothing by ourselves. Try and keep it, and you'll fall flat on your face. We know it. We have our ups and we have our downs. We have our weaknesses and we have our high spots. We're never always in the mountain. Times we're in the valley.
That's why I bought that hymn this morning. God will take care of us.
Amen.
He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So times we worry about it, you know.
Yeah.
For the finish up, in the Old Testament, swearing and oaths and curses. I heard somebody saying that, oh, there's Peter there, he's cursing away. That's nothing to do with bad language. Nothing to do with bad language. It's the basis of the law. See, Exodus 20:7 tells us this. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Deuteronomy 23:21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it will be a sin in thee. See, to forswear means to swear falsely, or to perjure yourself, oneself. Oaths taken in the Lord's name were looked upon binding, and perjury of such an oath was strongly condemned by the law. Peter was still under the law. We're not under the law. An oath by the name of God. When Peter took the oath, he named it by an oath by the name of God. It tells us he did not know the Lord. He's telling a lie. A curse is to call a curse on yourself. So you're talking to somebody, oh, that's true, and bring a curse on yourself if what he said was untrue. We live by grace and not by the law. The Lord announced, if you read Matthew 5, and we've not time to go to it yet, but if you read Matthew 5, 33 and 37, the Lord announced that it was unnecessary if one was in the habit of telling the truth. This disciple is always to tell the truth. Yes means yes, and no means no. There's no need for oaths, there's no need for curses, and there's no need for swearing. If you went to court as a born again believer, washed in the blood of a lamb, you don't need to take any oath. Don't need to take it. All you have to say, that book is life to me. I believe that from the front to the back. You don't need to put your hand up like that and make oaths or swear. We'll just read it while we're here, Matthew, and then we'll finish. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33.
This is the Lord speaking. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, there it is, yea and yea, and nay and nay, for whatsoever more than these that cometh of evil. You don't need to swear. You don't need to take an oath. You don't need to take curses. But it showed you how low Peter had got when he took those oaths and those swearing and those curses. Today, all we have to say is no means no, and yes means yes. I pray the Lord would help us this morning as we read his word, and it'd be a challenge to our souls. Not that Peter had failures, because we've all got failures. We all fail. That we can learn by our failures and get the opportunities that the Lord gives us to glorify his name. Maybe Bert, you would close our meeting in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, indeed, for the challenge of thy work, Lord, this morning. Yes. Thank you for the liberty you give thy servant this morning to expound these thoughts before us, Lord, before us.
Amen.
And yes, indeed, remind us that cursing and swearing and everything else, Lord, but also speaking. Yes, our language, our tongue does betray us who we belong to.
Amen.
Thy word tells us in the Old Testament, then they that feared the Lord spoke off one to another. Mm-hmm. And the Lord heard from heaven, and a book of remembrance was kept to those who loved the Lord and spoke often of his name. When the saints gather together and we do hear, we speak of our precious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You've changed our language, Lord. Mm-hmm. One time we spoke the language of hell, we reminded of this word.
Yes.
Yes, and cursing and swearing to this word, but thank the Lord that all changed immediately and won't be received by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Lord. That's the great fruit of which thy great and wonderful salvation.
Amen.
We thank you for thy word this morning, reminds us, Lord, indeed, we do not judge Peter. We thank you for the example set forth in Scripture, Lord, we say, praise thy name for that. These are for our learning, and that may go in grace and knowledge of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wrote that himself, inspired the Holy Spirit later on, Lord.
Amen.
A reminder, of course, when the Holy Spirit came that day in Pentecost, this same Peter stood up and boldly proclaimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before them all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the result of all that great preaching, 3,000 souls were saved that day, that the assembly of believers, we thank you for that. We thank you, you're a compassionate God and a merciful God.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was restored, and we praise thy name for that, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. Even David himself could say that the Lord has shown unto him the joy of his salvation.
Yes.
My soul thou dost restore again. We confess indeed this morning we have all times failed and fear, and that's the fear of man bringeth a snare.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, in other words, you don't cast us aside. That's one of the lessons for us today.
Amen.
In spite of our failures, Lord. Yet we are being kept by the power of God, and we thank you for Peter wrote that himself. We have an inheritance. And corrupt are all the way that be another way, reserved in heaven for us who are being kept by the power of God. We're not keeping ourselves. Yes, we thank you for the lessons this morning.
Yeah.
We take this home with Lord, and we look and examine ourselves in light of this great message this morning concerning our tongues and our souls, Lord, and our fears. And we praise thy name, Lord, we are being kept by thyself, Lord. May we take this, Lord, a lesson. And apply it to our lives at all times. We dare not judge others, Lord, nor point the finger.
Yes.
We can see these things set out in Scripture. David made mistakes and failed. We all did. And we all have done it ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and thank for the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy word tells us the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin. We have only sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And we thank the Lord for that. That sacrifice of Calvary still stands on our stead, Lord. We have a great high priest, Lord. He's able to keep on saving us, keep us safe, Lord. God's ever loves to pick up the session for us, and we praise thy name for that. We thank you, Lord, this morning for this lesson to our soul, Lord. Thank you for blessing our brother indeed.
Amen.
And we praise thy name, Lord, indeed, for the liberty to come to open thyself, Lord. Yes. We pray, Lord, if people listen to this message this morning, or listen to that, that will lift them up. I know we can all get downhearted at the time with our feelings. We can all do that. And even get away from the Lord because of our repeated disgrace to thy sight. We thank the Lord, you're a loving God and a restoring God.
Amen.
And we praise thy name for that. David himself failed and he prayed, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Why we cannot, by our mistakes, lose our salvation, we thank the Lord for that. We can lose the joy of it.
Amen.
We do give praise, Lord, you're the one who restores us, and we praise thy name for that. So thank you, Lord, this morning for this message, and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, precious, blessed, wondrous name, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Amen.